Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everybody. This is Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill, my podcast, The View from the Middle of the Road. And from the middle of the road, how is this for conciliation? How about Joe Biden recognizing the indispensable role that Donald Trump played with his Operation Warp Speed in getting these vaccines on the verge of hitting the U.S. and world markets? He, Trump, is more responsible than almost anyone in cutting the development time on those vaccines from years to months. So my proposition is call the vaccine the Trump. Here's Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
OJ's 1973 later became the theme song to Celebrity Apprentice. So I have an idea, a conciliatory idea. You know how we middle of the roaders love to bring people together, agree on something. So stand by. I'm going to be asking you to vote on my idea for conciliation. First, I was on with Martha McCallum. Erica and I knew Martha all the way back to CNBC back in 2000. We were colleagues at the Business Network at CNBC together. Then Martha went to the Fox News Channel, where she has now become the go-to female co-anchor for all the election coverage. So I was on Martha's show last night. Obviously, the topic... still, my earlier conversation with President Trump, how he is feeling, what his options are. So why don't we start there? Last night on Martha.
Karl Rove is Fox News contributor and former deputy chief of staff to President George W. Bush. Geraldo Rivera is Fox News correspondent at large. Great to have both of you with us tonight. Thanks for being here, gentlemen. So, Carl, let me ask you a few questions that sort of keep popping up here. And some of them are based on this piece in Town Hall that was written by Matt Vespa. And he raises some of the questions that I had in the introduction there. He says Trump won the largest non-white vote share for a Republican president in 60 years. Biden underperformed Hillary Clinton in every major metro around the country, save for Milwaukee, Detroit, Atlanta, and Philadelphia. Do you find any of that odd, or what is the explanation for that, in your opinion?
Well, I'm not certain it's necessarily accurate, particularly when it comes to the depiction of the major metro areas. Take a look at this. This is 2020 and 2016. This is Wayne County. That's Detroit. Biden gets 587 votes. Hillary got in 519. So he does outperform her. But take a look at Philly. He got this year, Biden got 587 votes. 7,000 votes. She got 584. Not that much different. Mm-hmm. And remember, he gets nearly 13 million more votes nationwide than she got 4 years ago. Milwaukee, 317,000 this year, 288,000 last time around, a difference of 29,000. Again, not a big differential between them. And if you look at across the country, look, in Dallas, Biden gets almost 130,000 votes more than Hillary Clinton does. In Houston, Harris County, he gets nearly 200,000 votes more than Hillary Clinton does. Why? Because he got 1.3 million more votes in Texas than she got 4 years ago. Turnout was as a much smaller percentage of the voting age population 4 years ago than it was today. Cleveland, not much difference there. 402,000 this time around for Biden, 398 for her last time around. Cook County, Illinois, Chicago. Bad reputation for elections, right?
Yeah.
1,680,000 this fall, 1,610,000 last time around, a difference of 70,000 votes in that county. So my point is that the idea that we've only got four places in the country where Biden outperforms Hillary compared to 4 years ago, not exactly true.
Okay. What about, you know, the point that was brought up, and I'm just going to stay with Carl for 1 second, and then I want to get to Geraldo, by Robert Cahaly, who said right before the election, he's Trafalgar, he got a lot of attention right before the election. He said, you know, you got to win by 4 or 5 points extra in Pennsylvania to account for the corruption that we see and have seen over the years in Philadelphia. Looking at what you know now, Carl, based on these numbers, what do you say to that?
I think that's an exaggeration. Yeah, are there funny games going on in Philadelphia? Yeah. But I don't think it's 1 out of every 20 voters is a fraudulent vote. I just don't think that's borne out by history. And again, it's easy for us to make these accusations about, oh, these votes were stolen, this was rigged, there's a lot of extra votes here. But we got to go to court to prove it. It's an accusation until we prove it in court, and then it's a reality.
All right. Speaking of that, this is President Obama, Geraldo, on 60 Minutes this weekend. Here's what he said about the president not conceding thus far. Watch this.
When your time is up, then it is your job to put the country first and think beyond your own ego. My advice to President Trump is if you want at this late stage in the game to be remembered as somebody who put country first, it's time for you to do the same thing.
Geraldo, what's your reaction to that? And you've spoken to the president about his post-election feelings on all this. What do you say?
Well, first of all, I think that President Obama certainly would not have given that advice to Al Gore in 2000 when it was the other way around. Then he would have insisted that the recounts continue, as all Democrats did. Carl knows that all too well, having lived it. The president on Friday morning when he called me seemed resigned, disillusioned, disappointed, melancholy. I thought he was very reflective. It seemed to me that although he was not giving up the fight, he asked me, in fact, to investigate Dominion and tell him whether or not I thought that was a legitimate scandal. Still, he seemed to me to be on the verge. He said he was a realist. He said that he would do the right thing. He seemed on the verge of conceding a bitter defeat. And that was Friday morning. Then later in the day, and I reported that, later in the day, his attitude seemed to change until over the weekend, where the tens of thousands of pro-President Trump demonstrators descended on Washington, and he drove through the crowd en route to a golf match. I think he was tremendously heartened by the defiance in the crowd, by the undeterred support for the president. I think he was juiced by it. Disillusionment seemed to shed it. And it was replaced by count. Not that he was giving up on Friday morning, but he was putting it in perspective. But by today, it's clear the president is in this to win it. He believes that incidents like this county in Georgia, just one of 159 counties in Georgia where they find a box of votes with over 2,500 ballots in it. I think that he believes that there's more of that out there. Mm-hmm. Those of us who love him say, you know, maybe not, and maybe you better gird your loins for a bitter defeat. But it seems to me that, the president has made an arc, and he's much tougher today than he was on Friday about seeing this through. And he's got some precedents, too. Gore didn't concede until deep into December. He has some historical precedent for sticking it out, at least until the states are voting for their electors and the electors are certified.
Yeah, and that's going to start happening next week. Thank you very much, Carl Rove and Geraldo Rivera. Great to see you both tonight. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right. I was on with Carl Rove. He spoke earlier and said that the vote differences in the big cities for all the apparent scandal that everyone has been raising, the vote total is not really that different from 2016 to 2020. Not different enough that they would really raise alarms. But let me go through these things one at a time. Excuse me. Start with the county in Georgia, Floyd County. The president, the headline is, the president has not conceded to Joe Biden. And there is some real evidence. Excuse me. There's some real evidence of rigging, vote rigging, or negligence. So you have this hand audit going on in the battleground state of Georgia. and they came up with these 2,600 uncounted ballots in one county, in a single county. So the impact of those found, quote-unquote, found votes reduced Biden's margin. He had 14,000. He won Georgia by 14,000. Then they found this box of votes in this one county. That reduced it to by 800 to 13,200 vote now margin in Georgia. And the president, I think understandably at this stage, really believes that with the voting discrepancy and dubious counting methods, the legitimacy of some of these close counts in battleground states is called into question. I mean, it's got to be said. Well, I'll give you one more example before I come to my bottom line. The president also got a glimmer of hope in Clark County in Las Vegas, Nevada. They just threw out the results in Clark County for the race for county commissioner. When the tally there got funky, where there were too many votes for the number of people who purportedly legally casting ballots. So they threw out the entire election in Las Vegas for the county commissioner. So Trump lost that county by over 90,000 votes. Sorry. So he may have new life there in Clark County too. So that's Georgia, you got one county where things are happening. You have Clark County in Nevada where something else is happening. But here's the bottom line. So far at least, with all the voting discrepancies, with that, the dubious counting methods, all this is continuing to raise the questions about the legitimacy of the close counts in the battleground states. Nothing so far affects the bottom line. The bottom line outcomes anywhere. Any place Biden won, he's still winning. Any place Trump won, he's still winning. So far, Joe Biden is still the president-elect. So just take a deep breath right there. Let's say that Joe Biden is the president-elect. You saw those demonstrators in D.C., and I bet most of the people calling 216-578-1100 right now feel similarly. How do you feel? I don't want to put words in your mouth. You'll tell me. But my sense is that the Trump supporters are not giving up. Not at least until the president himself gives up. So you're going to have this bitter fight every day this week, through the weekend, next week, which is Thanksgiving week. And then you continue, December starts. Remember, December 8th is when the states must, by law, certify their electors. You know, you have the Electoral College. Each state gets a bunch of electors. I think we get 18 in Ohio. Other states get more or less. Pennsylvania, I think it's 20, depending on the population size. Anyway, the electors are selected on the 8th, and then on the 14th, they have to vote. They vote. The electors are technically the body that selects the president of the United States. So this thing's got to end by then, no matter what happens. It's got to end by December 14th. I mean, unless the legislator, Congress of the United States, passes an extension. It's not going to happen. It's going to end on December 14th. So what are we going to do in our divided country? Obviously, we can only have... sorry. I just woke up. We can only have one president at a time. So you have one president at a time. It's going to be Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the president-elect. He certainly will be after December 14th, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. He will be the president-elect. So we're going to have the awful bitterness of everything that's happened. Republicans will continue to oppose Joe Biden, if only because of revenge, if only because of what the Democrats did to Donald Trump in the first several years of his presidency. Don't ever let anyone convince you otherwise. This was an all-out effort to sabotage Donald Trump's presidency from day one. From day one. There has not been any credible argument to deny what I am saying. From the first minute of his presidency, Democrats have tried to delegitimize his elevation to the highest office in the land. They went from Russia, 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 that damn hoax, to that phony impeachment. What was that impeachment about? Remember the impeachment? You don't even remember it because it was about a stupid phone call to the president of Ukraine. Just more of the same. They haven't given Trump a minute's rest. So you think Trump's going to say, oh, kumbaya, everything's cool. Go ahead, Joe Biden, you're the 46th president, and I'll go lick my wounds. Maybe I'll start Trump TV, or maybe I'll run for president again in 2024, whatever it is. So I have a conciliatory gesture that I am offering right now, and I want you to tell me what you think about it. How is this for conciliation? Joe Biden can recognize the indispensable role played by Donald Trump and his Operation Warp Speed by calling the first vaccine to hit the market the Trump. Have you had your Trump? I got my Trump. You got a Trump? I got a Trump. You got your Trump? Has Johnny gotten his Trump yet? Because Trump, President Trump, is more responsible than almost anyone on earth in cutting the development time for that vaccine 2 months from the normal course, which is 4 or 5 years. This is the fastest any vaccine has ever gone to market. And here you have two great vaccines that are about to come to market. And they're going to be free to the American people. So what do you think? Can we call the vaccine, the life-saving, life-giving vaccine to battle the coronavirus, the Trump? Republican, Democrat, independent, middle-of-the-roader, right-winger, left-winger, let me know. The Trump. Isn't that a nice way? It's not the presidency. But like the Salk vaccine, you know, when we were kids, polio. And what's the other one? What's that other? The Salk vaccine. And what was the other polio vaccine? Do you remember?
A little bit before my time. I'll do some research, though.
Yeah. The Salk vaccine and the Sabin vaccine. That's what it was. The Salk and Sabin vaccines changed life. When I was 10 years old, people were still getting polio. And then these two vaccines came. So the Salk vaccine, the Sabin vaccine, live forever, the names of their creators. So Trump didn't create the vaccine, but he gave $2 billion to Pfizer and $2 billion to Moderna to get the damn vaccines, where the pharmaceutical industry had no risk, zero risk, because the government had already prepaid. So even if the damn vaccines didn't work, they had gotten paid thanks to Trump, because Trump's a businessman. And Trump knew that unless these companies had financial security, they weren't going to spend billions of their own dollars creating a vaccine which may not have worked. So now, thank God, we have two vaccines. One's 90% effective. The other is 94.5% effective. Call it the Trump. The indisputable, most important person in the development of the vaccine is Donald Trump. Call it the Trump. A little conciliation. Let Biden suggest it. And if he won't allow me, I just did, and I'm going to flog it now every day. Call it the Trump. So what do you think of my idea? Call the vaccine the Trump. I think it's a accurate reflection of or appropriate honor given to the guy who should have won the Nobel Peace Prize for those peace treaties, who was overlooked by all the politically correct progressives in Europe. But Trump should have been honored for that. Certainly he had accomplished much more than Barack Obama, God bless him, when he got the Nobel Peace Prize. He got the Nobel Peace Prize for getting elected. He hadn't accomplished anything yet. He admits that. But in any case, let's say he grew to deserve it. Donald Trump deserves it right now, but you could give him something starting today. You can call that vaccine the Trump. So what do you think of that? Or whatever else is on your mind. We'll start in Dayton with Dick. Hey, Dick, thank you for calling. How's the weather in Dayton? You got snow, too?
Hey, good morning, Geraldo. How are you?
Excellent, sir. So you got snow?
Oh, no, we don't have any snow, no. But I just wanted to tell you, I'm for this, this vaccine for Trump. I'm sorry about what happened, but I think he's a great man, Geraldo, you know.
Good,
I really do.
Me too. I think he's the most underrated man in the recent history of the country. So you're for the Trump?
Yes.
Would you take the Trump?
Yes.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yes.
Me too. Me too. Can't wait. Yep. Can't wait. Okay, Dick, thank you. Kevin in Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you for calling, dude. What's up?
Thank you, Geraldo. And real quick, I just want to say I'm a transplanted New Yorker, and you and I go way back. I used to listen to you on WABC every chance I had, and I'm glad I got a chance to listen to you again.
So how's Greenville? How's Greenville treating you?
Oh, man, it's beautiful down here.
A lot of my friends are in the Carolinas now.
It's understandable. I mean, it is it's awesome. This is a real rocking little city. I love it.
So what's on your mind today relevant to this discussion?
I agree with you 100%. I would. I think it's a great idea to name it the Trump. Unfortunately, given the vindictiveness of the left towards the president and just, you know, where the general discourse stands these days, I don't think it'll ever happen. But it's a
hell of an
idea.
Well, that's very interesting you say that, Kevin, because, of course, I agree with you. But at least this puts them in a position where they have to deny it. Where they have to say, oh, no, I'm not going to. And then, reveal the shoddy way they have treated this president for 4 years. We'll at least call him out on it.
Couldn't agree with you more.
All right, brother. Enjoy sunny South Carolina. So my idea, what do you think of my idea? The Trump. I love this idea. It's a conciliatory gesture. It's a nice thing. Joe Biden is supposed to be the nicest guy, right? Decent guy. Everyone says so. This would be a nice gesture. I mean, he'll get howled at by various people. Maybe it'll kind of catch in his throat when he says it. But I'd love it. I really would love it. The Trump.
Well, Geraldo, you bring up the left kind of, you know, giving him a whole lot of crap for it. But if he's going to do what he has to do and kind of bring the left and the right together, the left's going to have to kind of be okay with not being happy sometimes and extending that olive branch out. And that sometimes is going to mean not getting your way. So
you speak with the naivete of youth.
well, it's nice to think about it, at least, but
yeah,
you know,
there's such deep-seated distrust and animosity, and the closeness of the election only exacerbated all those natural things. Okay, so what are you thinking? I mean, you can talk about the Trump. I want you to have an opinion on it regardless of why else you are calling, but let's start with Jeff in Lexington, Kentucky. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Geraldo, I am just entering Camp Wildcat in Cumberland, Kentucky.
And that's Go Wildcats. Are you a basketball fan?
No. Actually, I'm a fan of our country. I'm a fan of God.
Good. Okay, I'll take both those as qualifications. So what's on your mind?
You mentioned our president girding his loins. You know where that's from? That's from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. And it's an instruction by St. Paul to build your armor of life, okay? To defend, not challenge, okay? And I got to believe, and I do believe, because you're a man of God, you're a servant of God, you're a soldier of God. I'm very certain of these things, Geraldo.
Good.
You wouldn't mention girdles.
I know. So did I? It sounds as if you are saying I did use it appropriately.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? You have more perspicacity, more years on this planet, and you have been, I've been pretty much around the world, but you've been in it, around it, beside it. You've shook hands with that man, Donald John Trump. You look in his eyes and you see who his favorite person is. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Who's his favorite person on the planet? He wasn't looking for votes. He said this, that my favorite person, not my favorite Martian, my favorite person that ever walked the planet was Jesus Christ. And that echoed off the hills in Butler, PA, pal. Listen, you ask Joe Biden who his favorite person is, he might look at the boob tube and say, who? Cuomo? One of them? Okay.
Maybe he'd say the Pope. Christ. Maybe he'd say the Holy Father.
Oh, the Holy Father.
His deceased son, Bo, as Rob suggests. But as fun as it is to speak with you, and I really appreciate the sincerity of your opinions, let me just move on and get some more people in here. In Chippewa Lake, Jeff is on the line. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning, Gerardo.
Good morning.
Trump sounds good. It's never going to happen, but Trump sounds good. Good luck. But you're on television.
I'm going to push it. You know, I'm a big man for hopeless causes.
But let me get to my, good luck. So here, you know, I feel the American people have been cheated one way or the other with votes. So why is it we have never, and this needs to be a bill turned into a law. You're in a position to do this. It could be the last act Republicans ever get. Make it a law. When you go and vote, you get a receipt. How come we never get receipts? You get receipts for everything else.
Well, you get the little sticker, I voted.
That's not a receipt.
It's not.
With a receipt, if there was ever a question about your vote, you could. This could have been over in a week.
I wish that people had heeded your advice. I get you. I think it's a great idea. There should be some kind of accounting. It should be like a check, right? It should be like when you write a check, you have either the imprint of the check on your checkbook, or you write it in your balance, if the people still do that. But there is a transactional trail that you can follow to prove that that you cashed the check or you deposited the check. I like that idea. I think that people have to be more creative in terms of, but also they have to simplify the process. Simplify the process. So my feeling about the presidential election, I think that all democracy is very important, obviously. I'm a big believer in participatory government. I also believe that the election for president and vice president is special among elections. This should be one national ballot, regardless of what else is on the ballot, whether it's a senator or a congressman or a judge or a proposition or a resolution, whatever it is. Whatever else is, that's the local stuff. Those are the pages that you add. But the president page and vice president page should be the same in every corner of this country. One ballot. So there's no messing around, impossible to alter. Well, you punch a big hole in it or you do something. I'm not the expert in terms of how you register the vote. But I just tell you that I remember, and I've said this before, I remember those antique machines that were all analog. Rob, you have no idea what I'm talking about, maybe unless you go to a voting museum. But these machines, you go in and there were these levers. First of all, you had to pull a big lever in the middle that closed the curtain. There's a big, now the curtain is closed. Now you're in the machine and you vote. It's pretty simple. All the candidates are one place. So you find the candidate that you want, you push the lever down, you hear a big click. And then when you leave, when you got it all finished, you take that same lever that closed the curtain and it opens the curtain. And that process also tabulates the vote in a mechanical way on the whatever it is, the device in the back of the machine. So then you take the device in the back of the machine, you feed it in a computer or whatever you do to tabulate it. But I mean, what you want to do is reduce the chance of fakery. You want to ensure the credibility and soundness and security of the vote. But you also want to make sure that everybody knows that when you're voting for president and vice president, that's a much bigger deal. That is your sacred duty as an American patriot, regardless of your party or your ideology. That's the biggest deal. And I also think more people will vote because more people will feel responsible. I mean, it's amazing that 150 million people or more now, it's over 150 million, voted this time. That busted all the records. Trump is the second highest vote total ever. Joe Biden is the first time. Oh, that's another thing I want to mention. I want to get back to your calls and my Trump idea, but, well, it's not totally unrelated. But I think that what's happened with the Republican Party is something that's still not given enough attention in this country right now. It is no accident that record numbers of black men and Latin men and women, Latinos, voted for Trump. They would never have voted for a Republican in past years. They wouldn't even know the Republican Republican. They wouldn't even know from Republican. They would be party people that donated Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. That's not the way it is anymore. Because of Trump as the charismatic central figure, there's a new working person's party in this country that includes, it's got its share of intellectuals and students and so forth. But what it really is, at its heart, it's an American working man and woman's party where this very sincere and foundational group of people who have historically been taken for granted or totally overlooked have now coalesced around this charismatic, once-in-a-million person, Donald Trump. So Trump has become like a leader. People disparagingly or in a derogatory way say it's a cult. It's not a cult. It's a movement. If you don't see this as a movement, then I think Democrats are going to be in real trouble going forward. It's not an accident that down ballot, other than the Trump-Biden race, all those, the Congress people and senators and the commissioners and all the rest of it, it's not an accident that the Republicans did far better than the polls ever expected them to. Far better. Hugely better. It's because of this movement. It's because this is a new, it will outlast Trump. But Trump is obviously key to its viability right now. I mean, that's the group. When I said on Martha's show, Rob played the clip at the top of this program, that Trump was enormously energized by the crowds he saw in D.C. I know the man. Friday morning, he was beat. He was beaten, noble. He wanted to take his last shots. He wanted to make sure he dotted the I's, crossed the T's. But he was ready to surrender. He takes that ride through the crowd in D.C. Mr. President, fight. Let's go. Come on, Mr. President. We're with it. And he's totally energized. By the time he gets to the other end of the crowd, his mind is changed. Now he wants to fight in a vigorous way every ballot. And, I know him. And I hope I'm beginning to learn about this movement. But the movement is real. And the movement will survive President Trump. But it's a great idea, I still think, the Trump. I'll ask Erica about the Trump vaccine name. I wonder what she's going to say.
I'm sure that's going to go over well.
I'm sure that should play really, really well. We're in this for for the duration. I hope, right, honey?
Well, I don't know. This morning I was asking myself, would Michelle Obama put up with this? I don't know.
So what do you think about the idea as a conciliatory gesture and in recognition of him driving Operation Warp Speed? There's no doubt that it was his relentless, urging and the money that he threw at this thing that got the vaccines to the place where they are now on the verge of distribution. Why not call him the Trump?
I'm not sure about what you just said, Geraldo, and I think it's ridiculous. Maybe it's fine for half of the country, but for the other half of the country that lives in reality, I think that it's ridiculous. It could be called the Fauci or the Pfizer or the Moderna.
But you give him no credit, and don't you want to extend the olive branch? Don't you want to quiet the partisan rancor in this country?
I think the thing that's vindictive, voting is not vindictive. The Democrats are not vindictive. What's vindictive is not conceding to losing an election that you've lost. He's lost the Midwestern states. He's lost Georgia. He's lost Arizona. Pennsylvania. He's lost.
And how did you react when they found those 2,400 ballots in that one county in Georgia, moving the needle 800 more votes in Trump's favor? Just found the box of votes.
I think it's ridiculous. I think, so what? Sorry, you guys lost. You're the biggest sore losers ever.
And how can you say that when the resistance, quote unquote, in heavy contemptuous quotes, harried this man from the minute he took office.
Oh, come on. Like, he didn't come up with the birther movement that was claiming that that Barack Obama was not born in America, that he was born in Kenya when he was born in Hawaii. Trump has been so rude to President Obama, and along with people who back Trump, they just hate Obama. They gave him hell for 4 years, and before Obama, it's 8 years. Sorry, 8 years.
But you don't credit the fact that Obama spied on Trump's candidacy. This is all that's stuff ridiculous. That's known.
That is not true. That is conservative media. That is Fox News. That is a hoax. That's wrong. That is just so blatantly false.
So you're not going to give him any slack at all?
I think that probably for the next 30 years, conservatives are going to say that the election was stolen, or it was the deep state, or this is not an alternate reality from what the, and I think that the Democrats have a lot of work to do. They do. We have a lot of work to do. We need more representation in the Midwestern states and all over, frankly. And it is sad to me that the Latino vote and that African-American vote did show up for Trump. But a lot of white men with college degrees did not vote for Trump. They voted for Biden.
So how would you like this to end, given the fact that there are so many, not so many, but there are still considerable numbers of lawsuits and other challenges, and Al Gore didn't concede until well into December, and you have until December 14th before the electors actually vote?
With Al Gore, it was 537 votes in Florida. That was really a very different situation. This is tens of thousands of votes. I think I know that Trump will not concede. He's not going to concede because he's so narcissistic. He's never going to concede.
How about the other look that he's sincere and he believes that he was robbed?
He ever been sincere about besides
is that nice
self and making money for himself?
I think that's cruel.
Even the building that we used to live in on the Upper West Side of Manhattan no longer bears his name. They don't want to be associated with him because he's a con man.
Well, I think that there is a real cruelty among so-called progressive people. And there is a reluctance to be in any way conciliatory.
It's cruel to not try now to work with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who have won this election. So it's cruel to the people who did vote for them and who are thrilled to have them in office, and to not work together now. And with you have the Republican Senate, and they can work together with the president, the Democratic president, just as Congress did with Trump. It's not fair to the people who voted for Biden. The 75 million.
I think it's more like 78 now.
Maybe more like 78 million who did vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the historic vice president, female.
You have to meet me halfway. You have to be someone who is kinder to the half of the country that rejected your candidate.
I have many Republican friends, and I get along great with them. I am very nice.
Thanks for the tea. I could have used it an hour ago, but thank you very much. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Obviously, here in my home, this discussion will continue. Rob, anytime you want to come over, no problem.
Oh, yeah. I'll make sure my health insurance is good to go before that happens.
Just ending with a dose of reality for people who support the president and are part of this new huge movement sweeping the working class in America. Obviously there are voting discrepancies, there are dubious counting methods being exposed, they are raising questions about the legitimacy of some of these close counts in this very, very, very close election for president of the United States. But I have to say, as of this moment, nothing found so far affects the bottom line outcomes anywhere. So far, Joe Biden is still the president-elect. And I'm Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.